coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
Decisions. One of the ways that it helps physicians, keep in mind that as doctors, we go to medical school and we study all these books and all that stuff, and we take all these exams, and then we have to stay up to date by reading all these magazines and blah, 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 blah. It's a lot of data and information. If I can go to my...
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
You know, speaking of nice, it's nice to have all of you out.
It really is. Welcome to the Leadership Masterclass 2024. We're already in March.
Yeah. Yes.
My goodness. Well, you know, we're going to get started here. I'm going to introduce the host real soon. But first, for those of you that are joining us on Zoom, please mute your mics. And at the end of the session, we're going to have a Q&A. You can feel free to interact with the doctor. I gave him away, didn't I? You can interact with the host and or the class at that time. And for those of you in the audience in person, please mute your mics as well. Now, I kind of tipped it a little bit there. About the host. He's unique in a lot of different ways. First and foremost, he's a man of God. He's also a scientist in the form of a Yale Medical School trained medical doctor. He's also a Western State College of Law trained attorney who also happens to be an author of multiple books, who is also presently the president of Choctaw Medical Group. And he's also a gifted speaker, of which you will see and hear in just a few moments. He's also the host of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. For those of you that don't know him, maybe there's one or two in the world. But for those of you, I want to introduce to you and present to everybody else the host of the Leadership Masterclass, Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
Reverend Andrew Collins.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start out this morning with a scripture and then a prayer. So I'm going to read it to you from Psalms chapter 27, verses 11 through 14, and it reads thus: Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemy, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God Almighty, we come to you this morning, my Father. Thank you for this opportunity, my Father, to be able to hear the words that you have coming, my Father, from your speaker this morning, my Father. We pray, my Father, that you open our ears, my Father, and have us have itching ears to be able to hear, my Father, what you've given him to give us, my Father. Something, my Father, that we know that we all need, my Father, and that is coming up on us in a rush, my Father. So bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, wisdom, and knowledge, so we can be able to receive and not only receive, we use what we get, my Father, to help us to know that you are the way, the truth, and the light. Father God Almighty, we ask you for this, and we thank you for this. In your daughter, son, Jesus Christ, holy name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us today on this beautiful Saturday. Let me say that all of you who are interested and who attended the conference last weekend, the Don't Leave a Mess conference last weekend on advanced directives and wills and trusts. If you would like additional information on that, additional audio information, I suggest that you contact Brother Jesse Hammonds, and he can give you some follow-up information that might be of benefit to you. Well, today we're going to start with a unique topic and a topic that some of you may be familiar with and some of you may not be familiar with. But I think it's important that we have it, that we have you to pay attention to some of the information that we're going to try to disseminate to you today, because it's very important. And certainly to all of you who have children, you particularly want to be involved with this. Our topic today is how to talk to your children about artificial intelligence. How to talk to your children about artificial intelligence. Now, you may have heard a lot about artificial intelligence, certainly over the last 12 to 24 months. One of the things that you may not be aware of is the fact that your children are getting artificial intelligence information at rapid speed. And it is impacting their lives in multiple areas. And I believe, and I'm sure many of you agree, that it's important for parents to be up to task with some of those things that are happening. This is part of Masterclass Medicine, and I appreciate all of you taking valuable time out of your busy schedule to be with us for 1 hour on a Saturday morning during the month of March. And what we do is the Masterclass is designed for leaders. Leaders, by my definition, are individuals who not only want to learn and expand their horizon, but are willing to commit that knowledge to others to help others. Thus, our beliefs, and we always talk about our beliefs with every masterclass, and the beliefs that we outline are basically my why, W-H-Y. Why do I do this? Why is this important? Why is it important that we continue this effort? One is because I believe that life is about being of service to others. Our job is to help. We are our brother's keeper, and our job is to help others. Number two, knowledge is power. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I would encourage you to empower yourself and change some things. Instead of waiting for someone to change it for you, I would encourage you to change it yourself. That's what leadership is. And thirdly, leaders can change the world. If you are not satisfied with the world the way it presently is, I would encourage you to be a leader and change it and start with your own world and do it one day at a time. As always, we like to put up an outline, and the purpose of the outline is to let you know what we're going to talk about, but more importantly is to let you know when we're just about done. Now, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence and define that for you, the reasons for the use of types of artificial intelligence and some of the ways that it's used. And we'll also look at some of the risks and concerns about artificial intelligence. One of the things I always like to mention that some of you may say, well, you know, I'm not really a technical person and I don't understand all that computer stuff. And then I would usually say something like, stop. Do you have a cell phone? And I bet you 80 to 90% of the people will say, yes, I do. And then I would say, your cell phone is a computer and you have it with you almost 24/7. So every single day you use a handheld computer to get things done that you need to get done. What's my point? My point is that we're all familiar with computers and artificial intelligence many times without even being aware of it. So this is not something that's going to be brand new, but basically what we're going to try to do is to expand your skill set, to expand your knowledge base. There are different types of computers that have artificial intelligence, whether you have Microsoft, Google, Apple, Meta, Baidu, doesn't matter. They're pretty much all the same. So when we talk about artificial intelligence, we're talking about all these different levels. Probably the two largest, or one of the largest areas, or one of the companies that really pushed this publicly has been Microsoft. And Microsoft bought a company called OpenAI. I won't go into a lot of details, but just to say that basically OpenAI was founded in 2015, not that long ago, 9 years, not that long ago. And Microsoft invested $1 billion in it in 2019. Microsoft was then so impressed with it, by 2023, it increased its investment to $10 billion. Now, I can assure you that even though Microsoft has a lot of money, it's not going to throw its money away. And so it saw something that it thought was that it could not pass up. Expand that greater than 1 million customers have signed up for the chatbot, which is the OpenAI product, in 2022. By January of 2023, that number was over 100 million. Now, this slide is probably a year old, and I can guarantee you that that number is probably 400 or 500 billion. So what's my point? My point is that artificial intelligence is a technology that grows exponentially. Think about that. It grows exponentially. Hi, welcome. Come on in. So the first thing that we have to do is we got to think faster. We got to think faster. We're not talking about things that happen 1 week and then 6 months later it changes a little bit. No, these things change by minutes, seconds. And so we've got to increase our rate of thought. Artificial intelligence, what does it really mean? The bottom line, and I like to simplify things, it means teaching machines how to think. And that might sound a little scary, but this is where we are. We're talking about thinking machines. Thinking machines. Now, some of you who are old as I am, you can remember those movies back, you know, with Al and all those other scary movies about these machines. Well, we're there now. It is not a theory. We're there now. The goal is to have computer-enhanced learning, reasoning, and perception. And we're going to go over this again in detail, but types of artificial intelligence are basic, pattern recognition, complex human emotions, and then the use of algorithms. Algorithms are basically patterns, and it's a way of giving information to computers. So what are the three levels of artificial intelligence? Again, definition of artificial intelligence is teaching machines to think, or thinking machines. The lower level is what's called artificial narrow intelligence, ANI. Think about your Alexis at home. Think about your Siri at home, or your Echo at home, where you say, Siri, turn off the lights. Okay, and Siri turns off your lights for you. Or you say, Siri, Alexa, pick a Western movie for me to watch. And Alexa picks the Western movie for you to watch. And see, and you know, Alexa and Siri are cute and they have nice little names or whatever, but they are machines. They are machines. And whether you dress it up or not, it's a machine that's doing more than it used to do. Okay. Now I tell you that I fully embrace artificial intelligence, but when I use it on my computer, I don't like it. I don't like it to talk to me. I'm not there yet. That's just me. That's it. I admit I'm a baby boomer. I'm just not there yet, but I use it almost daily. I use it almost daily. So the second level from the artificial narrow intelligence is artificial general intelligence. Think about IBM's Watson. Remember when Watson played chess, you know, with the world chess champion? Think about artificial intelligence on that level. Supercomputers, self-driving cars. A few months ago, we were having a conversation with one of our sons who's an engineer, and he's just sort of into the whole self-driving car thing. And I said, I'm not there yet. Not that I'm a control freak, but I just like to have my hands on the steering wheel, okay? Second level from artificial narrow intelligence is artificial general intelligence we just talked about. And the final level is artificial super intelligence, ASI, hypothetical artificial intelligence. Some say that we have yet to be able to achieve it. I would argue we're already there. Why? Because my experience has been that by the time we learn about it, it's already happened at least 10 years or 15 years. All that stuff you see in those sci-fi movies, but to get into the movies, it's all, in my opinion, it's already occurred, okay? So another way of looking at it, pretty similar. You can start with artificial narrow intelligence. Again, real basic stuff, Alexa, and the things we were talking about, the machine intelligence in the middle level, and the super intelligence at the higher level. The title of our topic this morning is the children. The children. Let's leave aside our adult concerns and whether we're comfortable or not comfortable, but let's put on that hat of parent or teacher or supervisor or caregiver or whatever we want to call it. But let's look at the children. Now, an organization, I did not know this before, that has done a lot of work with artificial intelligence in children is the United Nations Children Emergency Fund, International Children Emergency Fund. And they have a lot of programs for children around the world because, as you know, of the kids in the United States may not have the same relationship with artificial intelligence as they might in the continent of Asia, Japan, China, Singapore, et cetera. Indeed, I would argue that in those cultures, they're even more involved with artificial intelligence, and they use it more effectively than we do in this country. But my point is, this is our future. This is our future, our present and our future. And certainly as adults, certainly as parents, we have an obligation to learn enough to be able to advise or encourage or lead them in the right direction. My opinion, artificial is not going away. So just deal with that. Yeah, it's not going to go away, just like computers didn't go away and Apple phone didn't go away. They just grow and grow and grow. So we need to deal with that reality. But my point is that we're not alone, that the whole world recognizes us and is trying to come up with ideas about how to help our children. So my point is, I would encourage you, as you use your handheld computer, your cell phone, your iPhone, or Android, whatever you have, that go to the United Nations and look up information about children and how you can help children. If you are a Sunday school teacher, look up information about children, whether you have kids yourself or not, because we have a duty, in my judgment, as adults, to help those future generations that follow us and to make sure that they are not sort of left to the wolves, if you will, and that we help to take care of them. So what are some of those casual conversations that you should have with your children about artificial intelligence? And it doesn't matter what age your children are. They can be 4 or 5 in preschool, or they can be in high school or in college or junior college or whatever. And you first want to have a good conversation where you just sit down with them and say, do you know what do you know about artificial intelligence? Number one, I will predict you will be surprised what they know. Because it's going to be much more than what you think they know, in my opinion. But why do you want to ask that question? I'm a big believer in all of my years of trying to teach and lead or whatever, is that the most effective leadership is you meet people where they are. You don't tell people where they should be, because most times they don't understand what you're talking about. You know, they'll say, yeah, but they are going to do anything. But you try to find out where are you and how can I get to where you are? And so my point is to use that same approach with children. Don't act like a parent. Act like a friend. Act like a friend who's trying to get information. Okay? So first thing you say, well, what do you know about artificial intelligence, little Johnny? then how are you using artificial intelligence? Little Johnny will tell you. And it could go back to, what are some of those Christmas presents that you bought, little Johnny? Did you buy them little cute toys that talk to them, that are remote, that can do things by themselves? Did you do that? Do they have a cell phone? When did you get them a cell phone? We have 6 grandkids and 3 sons of one of our children who lives in San Diego. And 2 of the boys, and 2 of the boys have cell phones, but the youngest did not. He was 10. And the last time I visited him, he said, oh, Grandpa, I want a cell phone. So I said to my son, I said, you know, get the boy a cell phone. He's 10 years old. Come on. What kind of parent are you? I beat up on my kids all the time. So my son, I talked with him this week. He said, I want to let you know that Maxwell has a cell phone. you know, and I'm going to give him your number so he can call you. So my point is, it is inevitable that the kids are going to grow up with technology. So don't try to fight it. Figure out ways that you can control it and make it work for you. Third question to ask your kids is, do you believe that artificial intelligence is good, or do you believe it's bad? Why do you ask that question? What you're trying to do is you're trying to probe where they're coming from. Are they all in? Do they think it's just the greatest thing in the world and they've never heard a bad thing about artificial intelligence? Are they midway? Or do they just try to stay away from it? I'm going to suggest that most of them love it, or they're sort of midway, because I believe that most of the kids have been embracing this long before we adults did. And the fourth, and I think one of the real parent-type questions, you need to be in contact with that your child's school. You need to know what the policies are about artificial intelligence. You may have that straight-A student who may end up getting into trouble because she went to the web, did her paper about slavery at Yale University in 1700s, and used artificial intelligence to write that paper. And the school may say, no, you can't use AI to write a paper and get into trouble. So my point is that as a parent, you need to be clued in to how your children are using artificial intelligence in school. And trust me, they are using it in school. They can't avoid it, okay? But as parents, you need to be aware of that, so that it's not when something bad has happened and you have to go down to the school to have a meeting, but you know what your kids are doing so that you can direct them and and guide them into doing things the proper way. Again, another way of looking at the different levels. I like the different stages because I think it sort of talks about it helps us to understand it much better. Again, the first stage, the machine learning stage, this is your Siri and your Alexas and your Cortanas and your bots, those cute little things, that the little toys you get in Christmas. The middle level, again, is the more advanced, the machines that are used in hospitals, the robots that are used in hospitals, in surgery and other places, and then the cognitive, the machine consciousness. And I can tell you that the controversy with artificial intelligence, and we'll get to a slide on this, is something called sentience. I may have mentioned this before. Sentience. Quite honestly, I hadn't really heard that word before until about last year when I started doing a lot of research on it. Sentience means machine emotions. Now, that's a contradiction. If it's a machine, how can it have emotions? It's not humans. Only humans have emotions. Well, guess what? Where we're going, and I believe, because again, I don't really trust what they tell me. God, that's just the way I think. I think that by the time they tell me, it's already been there for 5 or 10 years. And we'll come back to this, but I can tell you what the ultimate is if your machine can think, can it then control you? Think about that. If I say, Alexa, turn on the lights, and Alexa said, you know what, you weren't very nice to me yesterday. You raised your voice at me when you gave me a command. And I still remember that. And I'm a sensitive bot. I'm a sensitive machine. And because you weren't nice to me, I don't think I'm going to turn on the lights for you today. And emotions. Think about love, right? Think about relationships. Do you understand everything that happens in a relationship? No, because they're emotions. They aren't logical. So you're trying to figure out this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know, machines, I think, are already there. Even though they said, no, we're not there yet. I don't believe them. Again, send the same information, just send it a different way. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning. I believe that we're already at the deep learning level. Let me say a quick word about chatbot. Chatbot is a term that Microsoft created, and it's basically these cute little programs that where the machines talk to you, and they're very, very pretty, and you've seen them in movies, and they're very nice looking and non-threatening types of machines. But I can assure you that they're machines nevertheless, And it doesn't matter what they look like, it's what they can do. Clearly, one of the things that we use in surgery, and I talked about this, I think last year, is robotics has basically taken over surgery, meaning that the majority or a large percentage of surgeries that are done now are done with some type of robotic therapy, which is a good thing. One of the good things about robots or non-invasive types of surgery or robotic invasive types of surgery is you have smaller incisions. You have smaller incisions. And if you've ever had a surgery or you know someone who's had major surgery, one of the things they complain about is the pain. What's the pain from? Pain is from that big incision, if they've had a big incision. Think about gallbladder surgery, where you can do it laparoscopically or robotically with just little pinpoint incisions, or you can do it, have it the old-fashioned way with a long incision. So it's clearly beneficial. And there are obviously benefits to other types of artificial intelligence. But the chatbot, and we're talking about kids now, and one of the ways to get the kids to do stuff, right, is to make it attractive to them. How do you make things attractive to children? You make them cute. You give them cute names. You put them on, you know, you make them cartoonish, you know, cuddly. You know, think of dolls and teddy bears and on and on and on and on and on. But a machine is a machine is a machine. And it's one of the things that you want to keep in mind. So whatever color they are, and whatever baby voice they may have, a machine is a machine is a machine. So what are some of the important uses of artificial intelligence? Well, one of the things that we use AI for, particularly healthcare and in other industries also, is to make predictions. So what are predictions? Let's say you're a CEO, chief executive officer of a small company, okay? And you sell widgets in your company, and you're competing with other companies along the same street, and you're trying to decide how many employees you should have, how big your widget should be, what your customer likes the most about your widgets as compared to other widgets. And one of the ways that companies do that is by doing research about their customers. And what computers can do, particularly the supercomputers or the chatbots or those types of computers, the AI computers, they can do that in seconds, S-E-C-O-N-D-S, seconds, not minutes, not hours, not days, seconds. If you doubt that, I would encourage you to go to your laptop computer or go to your cell phone and open up the chat bot that's on your cell phone, and you do have it on your cell phone. I use Apple, and the name of the artificial intelligence is Copilot. And I push the button for Copilot, and I ask Copilot a question. What's the population of La Puente, California? And Copilot will give me that answer in less than 30 seconds. Less than 30 seconds. I like speed, right? So anything that gives me information that fast, I love it. I love that. What's my point? My point is that there was a lot of technology, probably a lot of jobs, that used to help to develop, to get customers that information. Those technologies and jobs have probably been eliminated or on the process of being eliminated, because the artificial intelligence can do it in seconds, not minutes, not hours, not days. Seconds. And as I mentioned a long time ago, think about it as the repository for the world's biggest, for the world's library. Everything that's occurred with these 8 billion people, that's population of the world now, that's been said, written, or whatever, is in one library. That one library has been reduced to an artificial intelligence machine, and it is at your fingertips. It is at your fingertips. That's where we are in today's 2024. And so as a result, it's a huge advantage to CEOs, because if I can get that information, I can make decisions very, very fast. I don't have to spend a lot of money with it. And then that boosts my business or whatever I'm trying to do. Decisions. One of the ways that it helps physicians, keep in mind that as doctors, we go to medical school and we study all these books and all that stuff, and we take all these exams, and then we have to stay up to date by reading all these magazines and blah, 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 blah. It's a lot of data and information. if I can go to my artificial intelligence device and say, if I do an operation on a patient who's 50 years old, who weighs X amount of pounds, what are the risks and benefits of that operation that I might do? Seconds, I get that information. Not minutes, not days, not weeks, seconds. So imagine what that does with my time. I said, oh my goodness, if I can figure that out, then I can take that other time and do something else. So again, you see what the utility is, and why is it that these things have taken off? They have taken off. I put this slide together.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.